Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the show. It is another Wednesday. We are here doing Action Movie Anatomy for you. We are so excited to talk about the archetypal original sports hero film, Rocky. We're in the house to break it down for you guys. We'll see you in just one quick second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
So weird to not have this song. Oh, there we go.
Feeling strong now.
That's a good one.
You ain't got nothing on me.
Yeah. All right. We're back in the house.
Lights, everything. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is intense. I, like, don't know how to act because we have a different intro song. That's the first time we haven't had Still Dre and...
Who knows? And we've got a celebrity himself.
A celebrity guest in the house. Before we even get to ourselves, we are gonna introduce Kevin Undergaro. By the way, guys, Kevin Undergaro founded this place.
Yep.
This is his network. He owns Popcorn Talk. This is Kevin.
But my favorite film is Rocky.
That's why you're here. His favorite film. All time, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to always say what your favorite film is because we all have different genres.
Of course.
Okay, gun to my head, Rocky.
Yeah, right. Because we tried to have you on for Count of Monte Cristo because it's pretty high for you too, right?
Very high.
Love Count of Monte Cristo.
That's a good one. Yeah. All right, guys. This is Action Movie Anatomy. We have Kevin Undergaro in the house. We talk action movies here on the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network dedicated to talking movies, all things movie related and pop culture by the bucketful. I am merely your host, Ben Bateman, joined today by Mr. Andrew Guy.
I got a boxing intro today. What's up, everybody? I'm so excited to be here. I'm excited to have Kevin here. Kevin's the reason that this show exists.
Yeah.
I mean, he believed in us 3 years ago, 160 episodes ago.
20 million views, by the way, ago. I just looked last night.
We did it.
Can we lay claim? Are you guys Schmodown champions or no?
Champions. We have won matches in our lives.
Champions of the people.
People's champions.
Yeah.
When do we get the title?
Well, I'll tell you what. Our last team match, we had an unfortunate loss.
We did.
That story you'll hear a bit more about on the show because it's Apollo Creed. That's who we wanted to be.
Yeah.
Drew is playing in an event actually this weekend, a massive event. So he's got the match of his life, an underdog match, which is why we're doing Rocky this week. Is because
I'm Rocky. This week against Dan Morrow, who is officially the GOAT, the greatest pound for pound fighter of all time
ever. Yeah. So that's. There's a lot of talk, you know. Effectively, in the narrative that is Schmodown, he is the hometown fighter who has no chance.
Yeah,
that's basically what the world is talking about right now.
And as Rocky would say, he's a perfect fighter.
Yeah.
No one could beat him.
So we've got a little string attached to Drew's ankles everywhere he goes now.
He's trying to.
He's really working on it. So, yeah, guys, we are talking Rocky today. This is an exciting movie to talk about, you know. The funny thing is the action movies on this show adhere to four basic rules. Now, we break these rules a lot now. We didn't used to as much. Rule number one, the hero always plays by their own rules. I mean, he takes on Apollo Creed. I'd say that's playing by his own rules to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, Rocky always plays by his own rules.
Right.
Right?
He doesn't. Yeah, he's like, you want me to break his thumbs? No way I'm going to break his thumbs because I'm a good dude. He plays by his own rules.
Well, even in the fight.
Right.
You know, makes us stay down.
Yep. Yeah.
And he gets up. So 100%. He does.
Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people, beings, things, dinosaurs, what have you in the room. I mean...
Apollo's definitely the smartest.
Yeah.
He is by far. He's got the villain. He's set up this master plan to make himself look like a god.
Yeah.
It does backfire on him a little bit.
No, but Rocky's the smartest because he outsmarts him. I mean, the fact that he was who he was and went the distance with him.
Yep.
So I think, in this, Rocky was smarter.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, he had smart people around him with Mick, but ultimately...
We'll stretch it. I'm willing to stretch it on that one.
I agree. I mean, why can't they both be the smartest people? That's the point.
Rule number three, the movie is driven by police, military, political, or mercenary figure. Now, when we say political, means they could either be the man or work for the man. So they could be an MTA officer in the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, perhaps.
Unfortunately, in this film, he just represents Philly.
He just represents Philly.
That's right.
The city of brotherly love.
But he is not... A police, military, political figure. And the final is that there is a minimum of one explosion in the film.
There's an explosion of raw eggs on his shirt.
An explosion of emotion throughout.
Oh, yeah. A very good one.
I think one of his vocal cords might explode when he yells Adrian.
Yeah. How fired up does it get you when he's doing that at the end?
I cried.
Me too.
I legitimately cried.
Yeah. It's so emotional. It's such an emotional moment. All he doesn't care. He's just screaming her name. And actually, when she's screaming Rocky, it almost gets me more.
Yeah.
I mean, I start tearing up when you see... Apollo come out and he's just like, He just can't believe it. He just shakes his head. He's like, I can't believe this guy's going to come back out.
On the 14th
round. I got
round.
One more round in
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And he just gives him that look like, damn. All right, here
and,
we go.
Oh, and how much do you... Well, okay, we're going to get to all
this. As his hands are up
yeah.
in the air.
Yeah.
He's celebrating.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. All right, there's a lot to cover. So, guys, coming up today on the show, we have a bunch of fun stuff going on. We have all of your favorite segments, thesis statement, fist pump moment, favorite line. We are going to be having a discussion of recast because... Recasting a classic sports movie like this is kind of hard, but we will get to recast as well as some of your Action Movie Anatomy questions coming up on the show. A quick shout out to brand new patrons of the Team Action Patron, which we'll get to in a second. Brian Chandler and Brandon Hanna. We support you guys supporting the Patreon. And finally, we salute you. All right, guys, we are going to get into the show. And before we do, I want to cue the trailer, 1976 trailer. Rocky.
Is this the oldest trailer we're covering on the show?
We have never done a movie before 76. Star Wars at 77 was the oldest we'd ever done.
Wow. I feel like they could do it with this, though. Like, a sports movie feels like the right genre.
Yeah, maybe.
Apollo Creed does. And he's going to prove it to the whole world by giving an unknown a shot at the title. And that unknown is you. It's the chance of a lifetime. You can't pass it by.
His name is Rocky. His whole life was a million to one shot.
My old man, he says to me, you weren't born much of a brain, you know, so you better start using your body, right? So I've become a fighter.
Time, kid. Let's go.
My mother, she said you weren't born much of a body, so you better develop your brain.
She's phenomenal.
So good.
Yeah,
she's so
good. You know, I've been coming in for 6 years. 6 years you've been sticking it to me. I want to know how come.
You want to know?
He's great, too.
About
you know, four... acting nominations.
He what?
Four acting nominations in this movie.
A loser.
No, you're looking very great today, you know that?
And if you don't watch out, you're going to end up dying alone.
Well, one director and picture.
Yeah, and four acting nominations. Yeah, that's crazy.
End up dying.
Hey, I don't see no crowd around you need.
Wish me luck, I'm going to need it.
I'm 51 underdog, living a Cinderella story.
I think we make a real sharp couple of coconuts. I'm done with your shot. What do you
think? People's imaginations all over the world.
What's the problem? You don't like me?
Rocky Balboa climbing into the ring now.
Touch me.
The Italian Stallion.
Take me in your arms.
Is that the world heavyweight champion?
Some weird intercutting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're noticing, this was a very low-budget film. It was a B-movie. It was not expected to do what
bucks.
It did. And you can see, but they didn't have the expectations at all.
No.
And you can see the way this is edited. It's a very poorly edited trailer.
Yep.
A voiceover guy. If they knew what this was going to be, this would not be edited this way.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have a voiceover guy. It would be far different.
Mid-70s trailers are already pretty bad, but like this is a particularly disjointed one.
But if you check out a movie that they knew was going to be big, you'd see a difference.
Well, even just, I'll bet you if we watch the trailer for Rocky 2, it's way better than this.
Yeah.
Even just.
100%.
And that's just only 3 years later, so.
Right.
That's what I've been doing with Drew all weekend.
Yeah,
everybody.
we've just been
hitting him in the stomach.
1976.
I mean, even including the credits in the trailer.
Yeah, which I think
what
is really
the
weird.
Hell?
They had the actual star.
Well, it's that because
also star.
But that's what I mean. But they didn't have any money. It was just cheap.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't taking the footage and cutting it together properly.
It's funny, too, that United Artists, this is before they got bankrupted by Heaven's Gate 5 years later.
Yeah. Do you know the history of United Artists?
It was started by
Fairbanks, Chaplin, and Mary Pickford.
Right.
They were the United Artists back in the 20s. They were whatever it was. They were like, hey, we're tired of this system telling us what to do. Let's start our own thing.
Yeah. And in the 70s.
Very far ahead of the curve.
They gave a bunch of opportunity to sweet directors, and then Gimino bankrupted them with Heaven's Gate, right? They literally, they lost all their money. Though that movie is underrated. But all right, let's continue into the show, guys. That was the trailer for Rocky Best Picture 1976. We're going to get into our very first segment of the show. You guys that watch the show, you know this is called Thesis Statement. It is your biggest, boldest thought about the film. This is the greatest this, the only this, the first, the last. Should never be my favorite scene is this. Should be the thing you want to talk about when this movie comes up at a party. So I'm going to jump in first.
Yeah.
I've shared mine with you guys before the show started, and I was thinking about this a lot. This is the most important sports movie ever made. It is the architect of what became the sports genre. The whole idea of training montages, the entire idea of like the inspirational speech, all of it, just even the whole concept of going the distance but not winning being good enough of an ending.
Soundtrack.
Soundtrack, all of it. I mean, there's so much about it. The underdog story you know, there had been films, you know, Somebody Up There Likes Me, or there had been sports films like The Hustler or something like that. Yeah. It's just different, totally different.
I throw it to you, Longest Yard.
Yeah, right.
73 was a great sports movie that holds up today. And then Bad News Bears came out a few months before this.
Yeah.
But I agree, still not quite Rocky.
This was the first sports movie to ever win Best Picture at the Academy Awards. This became the definition of what sports movies were. And it's interesting to watch this and then to think about, obviously, this whole franchise, other sports films, because it's kind of a spoofed genre now. Like, it's, you can make a really low-quality kid sports movie, and it's like all the beats are there, but the beats are from this movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it almost feels like every single sports movie now is like it comes out of this cookie-cutter formula.
Right.
It has to follow these things, and the guy has to be this, and there has to be the great wife, and the support this, and the bad guy that's this. You know, it's like there's all these things, and it's not that we don't like those things.
Yeah.
It's just that this movie created all of those cliches.
Well, and the other, I think the fascinating part there is, you know, we all three of us are enormous fans of the movie Warrior. We all love it. And we had Gavin and Anthony on the show a couple years ago talking about that movie. When that movie came out, the big review of it was, this is such a smorgasbord of sports movies cliches. It's just all the cliches, but it works, right? Yeah. They're only cliches because they've been done before. You can still make a classic by using the same beats. That movie is a classic, in my opinion, and it uses all the same beats. The unbeatable fighter, the underdog, the alcoholic father, right? Like, all of it.
But funny, you really have this in Bad News Bears. Do you guys are familiar with the original one?
I mean, I have seen the original Bad News Bears. But
you have a lot of these beats. You have a training montage. You have them getting better over time. And then, of course, the big game at the end that they come close to winning, ultimately lose.
Right.
But the alcoholic coach, you know. So it's interesting. And the score, the score from Carmen.
Yeah.
Which is a very familiar tune. Plays throughout that, so just,
well, maybe I have to watch it. Maybe I'll revise it. But as it stands,
we only beat it by a few months. I mean, it's a few months, and again, it didn't hold up over time like Rocky.
Yeah, but I mean, how many sports movies do? But that is my thesis statement. So I'm going to throw to one of you guys, whoever wants to jump in with yours, for the next thesis statement.
You want
to
hop in?
Sure. So I didn't know how to do this, so I had to write it down.
Yeah, first time.
I'd say, other than Godfather, I don't know of a movie that has held up over time any better than Rocky. And like Godfather, Rocky lives on not only in pop culture, but also in terms of inspiring others globally. But where Godfather most often seems to inspire alpha males and alpha male wannabes to gain power, often ruthlessly, and to use it to overpower and conquer, Rocky inspires the downtrodden and the underdog to better themselves by more ethical means. So I think it's the ultimate underdog movie that I just continues to always inspire. I know many athletes who go to this movie.
Right.
I mean, Tyson used to watch them before fights to get pumped up. I mean, so that's what I think. I think that it really resonates to people. I think it's like a bit of a religion, to be honest.
Well, it's so crazy with these sports movies. There's so many of them, like Miracle and Hoosiers and Rudy and Rocky, that you watch to make you feel like you can do it.
Yeah.
I can do whatever today is going to do.
Right.
Bring on to me. And it's true. Rocky is the epitome of that feeling. And it is interesting that you bring up The Godfather, because one of the fans was talking about like ranking franchises. And like, obviously, The Godfather is usually ranked as the number one franchise of all time. But it is so interesting that you put that it's like it inspires alpha male and alpha male wannabes to take power ruthlessly, as opposed
even
to
even in Hollywood. You know how many times the guys quote that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, of you, course.
Executives,
and Scarface gets quoted.
Oh,
and shit.
Yeah,
like,
and it's
on,
like, you know,
man.
What? It's really, you know, guys, they're amazing films. I love Garfield, but do we really want to inspire people to go hurt other people and overpower them?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I love that.
Whereas Rocky doesn't.
No, it doesn't. That's a good point you make. You kind of actually had your thesis and explanation written back to back, which is cool. We never actually write our explanations. But I think everything you said is, if I could communicate my thoughts that concisely, I'd probably be better off and probably have a shorter show.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'm going to hop in with mine. And it's interesting because we talked about it with these other movies and stuff. But I believe truly that Rocky has the greatest use of a MacGuffin ever in a film, which is who wins.
Yeah, right.
No one cares who wins at the end of it. Like, it's said in the background as he's hugging Talia Shire, and your winner is Apollo. And no one gives a shit.
Great
I could not be more pleased.
Yeah.
Because I know that he doesn't win.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie before. It's been out for 40 years. You know what I mean? But, like, in the way in which he doesn't win, and the fact that you as a fan, you're teared up, you're inspired.
Yeah.
You don't care that he hasn't beaten Apollo Creed, and you wanted him to win.
Yep.
We all wanted him to win, right? But then when it actually happens, when that moment actually passes, you don't care. And I feel, and you know, I need to revisit Bad News Bears and other movies, but what I've seen in sports movies, a lot of the time when the team that you really want, your team, when they lose, you feel like something's kind of been taken away from you. You feel like you kind of got beaten by the movie a little bit, the system. You got cheated. But with this, it happens, you're like, I don't care. He did it. He did everything he was supposed to do. He lived up to what he wanted. All he wanted to do was go 15.
And he says, no one's ever gone the distance with Apollo.
No one's ever even knocked him down.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that no one's ever knocked down Pretty Ricky Conlon either in Creed. You know, I just love these things. So for me, I think it's just the greatest use of a MacGuffin ever in a film, especially in a sports movie.
It's set up so well. I love it all, man. I love it. I love the setup. I love each of the beats that they give you early in the movie. You get so many movies that come out these days, these like dark dramas. They're just like punctuated by these like ambiguous, moody scenes where you're like, what's he thinking? What's he feeling? You know, what's the point of this? How's this? Whereas like this movie is just like, oh, he's never been treated well by this guy. And he's like, why you never give me a shot all this time? He's like, that's exactly how he feels. He's yelling it in the middle of a gym. Yeah. And he's saying, this is exactly what you did. Scene over. You know exactly the whole backstory. There's nothing weird.
Yeah, there's no flirting or beating around the bush. It's just straightforward writing. And maybe that is a testament to him, the fact that he wrote it in 3 days and that it was one of the first things he's ever written.
Yeah.
But maybe that bit of being a novice makes it that much more authentic.
Maybe, yeah. He's young. He's 29 when he's shooting this movie. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. So, all right, guys, those are the thesis statements here on AMA. We're going to continue through the show to a very fun segment of the show. This is Fist Pump Moment. This is the moment in the show. If you guys have watched or listened, you know what I'm about to say. You're watching the movie. Something happens. You look around. You're like, are you seeing this right now? This is so awesome. I get to watch the rest of this movie. Usually in our case, because we don't get to watch them anymore together.
Pick up my phone. You're like, okay, stop whatever you're doing. Go to Rocky. 27 minutes, 36 seconds in.
I'm having dinner right now. I can't do it right now. All right, I'll turn it on. That's the fist pump moment. You get hyped. You get absolutely hyped. And this movie, does it have some fist pump moments, man.
Oh, it has so many. Let's hop in with Kev's. It's his favorite movie of all time. What is the one moment in this film that when it happens, you're just like, ah!
Well, two has more fist pump moments to me.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
But this one is a weird fist pump moment, and maybe it's because I'm old.
Yeah.
It's we have weird ones, man. It's the scene after Rocky's done yelling at Mick.
Yeah.
When Mick offers his services as manager, and Rocky rejects him, and the following scene, you see Rocky chase him down the street. And there's no dialogue, just very little music, almost silent. But you see them talk a little, then hug.
And he like as he walks away,
and then Rocky walks away and points at him. And to me, it's just the beauty of that character of forgiveness, you know. And he needed to get that out of his system for Mick.
Yeah.
So Mick was a shit to him, but he was also a shit in his own life, being a leg breaker and not focusing.
Yeah.
I can see why a trainer wouldn't want to train him. I just thought it was beautiful because, again, it wasn't about conquering.
Yeah,
so much. It was all those inner demons and those things inside. And I don't know, there's just such a good character there. So I always thought that was such a moment that as I'm older, when I was a kid and saw it, as an older person seeing that, I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Well, because that's also like, he obviously got nominated for an Oscar for this movie. And I think that scene before that is probably the scene that he gets nominated for. He has to exercise a lot of rage. There's a lot of complexity. Not Polly.
You like my life?
Both of them. But I was going to say,
my life stinks.
Stallone, that scene. My life stinks when he's yelling. Yeah. You know, that's a good scene. He's one man acting. He's communicating a lot. That's a great scene. That's a good point. I think for me, my fist bump moment with this movie has to be. Well, there's a couple. So I love the moment when Apollo's trainer is Butch, right? Is that his name? Not Butch. What's his name?
Mickey?
Duke. They actually change his name. It's Tony. You hear him. Paulo call him Tony in the second film, and then as it goes on, they to the other franchises they call him Duke. The other pictures they call him Duke. But
I love when Duke's watching the clip on TV and he's like, and he sees him hitting the meat, and you see that look in his eye.
Yes. Oh, that guy,
you see that look in his eye, and it's the classic sports thing where you're like, you're underestimating this guy. Yeah. This guy's smart enough to know because he's the trainer.
Better come look at him, champ.
He's gonna come look at him. He's like, what's he say? He's like, this guy's no joke. He's like, I'm no joke either.
No, he means business.
Yeah, he means business. I mean business too. Yeah. And you're like, oh man, this is gonna be good.
Right. That is so awesome. Good.
This is gonna be a real fight.
Do you want to hear a fun story about him?
Yeah,
that actor. So, and this is from Sly himself.
Okay.
That when they were doing Rocky Balboa, he had to tell all the extras and the actors in the ring, like, listen, this guy's method.
Yeah.
He's like, so when he gets in that ring, in you know, like when there's a chaos and they have to pull everyone apart, he's going to start throwing people. And if you see it, it's sloppy. I think he falls down. Like he's that guy. And so when he was screaming at me in Rocky IV, all those amazing moments.
Yeah.
He was like, he's like, just, it's full all in him. It. Full, full. Method, he has, full in.
some of the best moments in the entire franchise.
He does.
He really
does. Right?
Throw it a damn time.
Yeah. Like, there's so many great moments from him.
What about even Rocky Balboa? You know, so, you know, your legs are gone. You know, he basically does that speech before the workout. We're going to rely on cast iron horsepower. You know,
I haven't seen that one in a while.
We're going to hit this man so his ancestors feel it.
Yeah. You know? I love that moment, though, just when he's watching, because I also love that you hear Apollo. I mean, business, too, because it's just so Apollo Creed to say that.
He's unstoppable, unflappable.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's the best.
Another sly inside thing.
Yeah, what do you got?
Is that he really he wishes he didn't kill Apollo in the movie.
Really? Oh, really?
He wishes he put him in a wheelchair or something, because he just... he misses his work so much.
Yeah,
and he's even, as he's worked with the new movies and the new fighters, he also misses what an athlete he was.
Right.
He's like, I really underestimated what a great boxer he was and a great athlete. And he said, Mr. T would take shots, he didn't know how to sell.
Yeah.
You notice how his head bobs just back a little bit in Rocky III?
Right.
But he's like, with Carl Weathers, he knew how to really sell.
Yeah.
The pain and the suffering, the anguish. But he was a great athlete. He moved around, unbelievable. He's like, just all those things. And he's like, when I did Creed, he's like, and we even got back from shooting the new one, it's just tough. It's not the same. He's like, he was that gifted.
When we had
He said, I regret that I killed him.
When we had Jason Smith from Fox Sports Radio in here for Rocky IV, you know, his thesis statement was that Carl Weathers is the greatest athlete turned actor of all time. And I think it was pro athlete, because The Rock is a college athlete.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was interesting. Like, he really kicks ass in the few roles that he was known for. He's just so excellent.
Good. Oh yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah,
and he's got that movie star charisma that we always talk about.
You love
to watch him perform.
Yeah, such a huge fan. So, all right, what's your thesis statement? Or your fist?
So my fist pump moment is that moment, and I talked about it a little bit already, but it's when he comes out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
It's when she comes out of the tunnel, when Creed walks up, and it's the same as in Warrior. It's that moment where the hands up and the head shake, and you just can't believe it. I can't believe there's one more round.
Yeah.
How are you still here? I love that Duke's like, you're bleeding internally. I gotta throw the towel. You know, he's like,
he's stopping nothing. He's stopping nothing, man. He's stopping nothing.
They're both dying.
Yeah.
They're literally both dying. They got another round. And for me, that's just my favorite moment in sports movies, is that moment of tenacity when it's just like, this is what separates the men from the boys.
Right.
This is what makes you a champion. This is what makes you Rocky. This is what makes you Creed.
Yeah.
And it's that moment.
And you're right, that long shot of Talia Shire coming out, and she just lowers her head. It's in a long shot where she's like, oh, Jesus, what the hell is going on here?
It's the Nolte Warrior shot.
It
comes out of the tunnel, and he sees the brothers, and he gives them the nod.
That nod, like, you got to do it.
Yeah.
Oh,
That one's
another killer movie.
That's one of my
top five movies.
Yeah, me too. It's my fifth favorite movie ever. We, like, Drew and I never get to hang out anymore, really, unless we're doing work. And so the other night, finally, we shot like four shows or something, and we're like, let's get drunk and watch Warrior.
Yep.
It's been a long time.
So good.
And it was
a great time.
Oh, man.
We have a moment in we're recording where I'm like, we should get drunk and watch Warrior. We're all like, yes!
It's like kids in a candy shop.
It's like very on camera. So it was exciting. But all right, guys, those are some good fist pumps. Share your fist pump moments in the chat below. And of course, you know, if you want to follow along and tweet at us, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media. Drew, where can the folks find you?
You guys can find me at Andrew Guy. And Kevin, where can people find you?
At Undergaro.
Yeah, if you guys want to follow along with your thoughts there, be sure to tweet at us. We have a few other shout-outs I want to get to real quick before we get to Star Profiles. We have a Facebook fan group that was started by some wonderful generals, supporters of the Action Army. And if you guys can find that on Facebook, facebook.com. Does it even have a name?
Just go to Facebook, type in Action Movie Anatomy fan page. You'll be able to find it that way. And we also have an Action Army fan page, which is dedicated to our Schmodown personas. We've been posting videos recently. Ben just did an interview last week about his match.
My match against Scott Mance. And it was a hell of a match. And there's a whole interview you guys can find there. So go check that out on the Facebook fan groups. Let's get into Star Profiles, guys. Where were these guys at in their career? Made this movie. We decided to focus obviously on Sly and Talia Shire because she is truly the second star of this movie.
She really is. Like, as much as you want to say it's Creed, when you walk away, when you go and you watch this movie, she really, really ties it together.
Yeah, she clearly is.
Her and Polly.
Yeah. So Sly, this is interesting. You know, this is real early on. There's a lot that's been written about sort of his story and, you know, having written this movie and went, you know, obviously what happened to his career after. He launched this and First Blood within 5 years of each other and had two of the most successful. I think we said 85, right? That's Rocky IV and First Blood Part II the same year.
Yeah.
He made like $700 million or something like that in two movies.
Back in the 80s.
In the 80s?
Yeah. It's an insane amount of money.
It could buy you a lot of Nikes back then. So This is obviously very early in his career. He has small roles to this point, and he's just coming up. And you watch Creed, and you're like, wow, like this is the full breadth of a movie star. It's one of the biggest movie stars of all time, and this is the first moment the world really gets to know who he is.
Yeah, and it's interesting if you go and you flash forward 40 years and you think about Michael B. Jordan's career and where he was at in his, and it's like, honestly, it's kind of doing the exact same thing for both of them. You know, he'd been in Fruitvale, but I haven't even seen Fruitvale.
Yeah,
I know
right.
It's a good movie.
I saw Fruitvale.
Whereas like,
Fruitvale, yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard it's great, and Coogler did a good job, and so did Michael B. Jordan. But if you look at it after Rocky happened, after Creed happened, their careers went astronomically through the roof.
Yeah, Michael B. is like, it's funny too, because they had tried with him, and he had acted a lot. He'd been in a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. right? Everything from Friday Night Lights to The Wire, but like, the difference, and even Fantastic Four, but that movie was a flop.
Yeah.
But the difference between all those franchises and movies and the one hit that is Creed, him jumping around with his shirt off looking like a full-grown adult, being that he is a global movie star now.
Yeah.
And he's never looking back.
And so if you look at Stallone in his career, he did Capone in 75. He does Death Race 2000 in 75 as well. And he also does Farewell, My Lovely in 75. So he's working, but he's not a star by any means.
I've never seen any of those three movies.
No, I've only heard of Farewell, My Lovely. Or, I mean, I've heard of them all. I think I might have actually seen part of Death Race 2000.
Yeah. I've seen Capone. It's no good.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you look at Talia Shire, who was actually doing okay for herself. She did The Outside Man in 1972, Maxi in 73, and then she was in The Godfather Part 2 in 74.
She's a good part of The Godfather Part 2. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a big role.
She plays the wife, right?
She's in Part 1.
Yeah,
as well.
For sure.
Yeah, she's huge.
She's got she's huge in both movies, but I mean, I guess her
lineage is, you know, she's from the Coppola family.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and she's got some big emotional scenes in Part 2, and then I guess she takes a year off before she does this movie. So she's interestingly enough, she might have been the biggest star in this movie when it got made. I'm trying to think of
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith. Never mind. More inside information I shouldn't give. Maybe you should
save that one. So it's interesting. You look at both of them and their careers, and I think Talia Shire is actually probably the most famous person in this.
I think Burgess was.
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah. But then again, I mean, Godfather, right?
That's
nothing
say.
Bigger than Godfather. But
Best Picture,
Burgess,
74.
But Burgess Meredith had been around for forever.
Long time.
Right? He had done a ton of work.
And I think that leads perfectly in our production development section where we're talking about Stallone being cast in this movie. So Stallone wrote this movie in 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about this. Is he wrote it in 3 days, and then he was kind of inspired by the Muhammad Ali-Chuck Wepner match. Now, he denies that he took Wepner as a straight, like, cutout for Rocky.
Yeah.
But they ended up settling out of court later on for an undisclosed amount. Who cares whether he took it or not? Doesn't matter. He also has been saying that they took things from Rocky Marciano, Rocky Graziano.
He did.
But at the end of the day, this is his story, and this is what he wrote for himself. And that's a big part of the production, is that everyone wanted to put someone else in this movie.
Right.
No one wanted Stallone in this movie other than him. And that was his ultimatum. He's like, if you guys are going to buy this movie, I am going to star in it. And that, to this day, he says, would have been the biggest regret in his entire career had he put someone else in there. They were talking about Redford and Brando and
James
Caan, Burt Reynolds. So there was a lot of people in there.
He turned down $1 million too.
Yeah.
And he was living in his car. I mean, he was poor.
Do you think any of those guys, Kevin, growing up watching those guys, Redford, O'Neill, Reynolds, or Caan, do you think of any of the four of them ended up this movie would have been?
Nope, because they're close. Movie stars.
Yeah.
You need something raw.
Yeah, you need someone raw, like that.
Raw.
One of the interesting things about Stallone is that he gets almost better looking as like 4 or 5 years later. It's almost like he's so young and like, I don't know. It's like his eyes are like,
he like hasn't
too
grown
big or
into
something.
Himself.
Well, it's also pre Hollywood.
Yeah.
So there's no tanning. There's no.
Yeah.
There's no being on the high protein diet, and you know what I mean. And then God knows what else. Like they were doing in the 80s. So it was none of that stuff. So it was just good-looking guy who just had a good body, not an amazing body, but a good body.
Because by Rocky III, his body is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
The slow-mo running on the beach with Weathers in the yellow shorts.
Well, because
each of his like quad muscles are like styrated.
Dude, because I mean, look at Mr. T.
Yeah,
he had to look like he'd actually beat him.
Yeah,
he was insane. So then you go into Irvin Winkler and Robert Chartoff, who are the two main producers of this franchise, and they were the ones helping Stallone out to get this greenlit. They had to keep it low budget, though. They had to keep it, so they agreed on $1 million with an additional $100,000 for advertising and things like that. And they greenlit it. They did it. They said, okay, fine, you can do it. We're gonna have you be Rocky in this movie that you wrote, and we're gonna have John G. Avildsen direct it.
Yeah, so John, you're a big fan of John, right? Avildsen?
Yeah, I love this, and I love Karate Kid.
Yeah, they're the two, his two most famous ones. What's interesting about John G. Avildsen is that a lot of people think about Rocky as the breakout movie for his career. He had done a movie called Save the Tiger in 1973, which is a Jack Lemmon movie that mm-hmm. Lemmon actually won Best Actor for. And it was nominated for Best Screenplay, a couple different acting awards. It was a big Oscar movie.
Yeah, three Oscars it was nominated for.
And it's the movie just a few years before Rocky. But obviously, you know, who's ever heard of Save the Tiger at this point? And
never.
Yeah, and Rocky has lived on. So he had a massive career, but he left the franchise after the first movie, which, do you think that was a mistake?
Yeah. I mean, but back then it was different.
Yeah.
You know, back then that was the cool thing to do.
Back then, he didn't have franchises.
In the last, yeah, it was in like the last 10 years, they've all wised up and said, yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
No, let's keep this going as long as we can. But back then, no, it was different.
Cougar, I mean, listen, not doing Creed 2.
Well, but yeah. It was only because it was a schedule issue, because he had Black Panther, which is Marvel, and so you knew. So yeah. If I were advising him, I'd say do Black Panther, do, because you've done this already, you did the sports one. But once you get into that Marvel, and the money for your family is so crazy in those franchises. So, but he won't. He'll stick with that. Favre stuck with Iron Man as long as he could.
Yeah, you know? or maybe what they'll do is maybe they'll bring him back for Creed 3 and
later if his schedule maybe
Pretty Floyd will get out of prison and he'll come fight.
But business wise, I get it. I get why he did that.
I mean, I would too. It's smart.
Now, time wise, he could have done both. He may have. But the thing is, it's not like an actor. Now, you actors, you know, you show up. You do your job, you go home.
Sure.
For a director, it's a year, year and a half, two years, sometimes 3 years out of your life between pre-production, production, and post. So you really have to be careful when you make that decision. And I know many directors who have picked the wrong one, and the other one went on to be the big money-making franchise.
Well, especially, too, if you're like him, you're Coogler, and you're a young guy. So Fruitvale was an indie that people liked, and it was very well received. And then this movie, obviously, was a hit. Or not this movie, but Creed, you know, was a hit. But you have to make that decision. It's like, you don't have unlimited credibility. If you make the wrong decision, and Creed 2, for whatever reason, takes too long or is really bad or something like that, who knows if you get another shot? You don't have that much credibility. Black Panther gives you so much credibility.
I mean, it's Marvel. But it's also diversity.
Yeah, you know,
and again, just being Marvel, like you said, just the money in that world. Totally. I mean, I can't tell you how many A-list stars I know who are dying to get into the suit, dying to put on a cape.
Of course.
Oh, of course.
Or at least now the new thing is not be a superhero without a cape, but because they think that's the new way, but
who are dying to wear a funny hat in front of a green screen for about 3 minutes to be featured in a movie for one scene and get paid $10 million.
Yeah,
exactly. So John G. Avildsen, obviously very famous for this film. I wonder if there are any other directors ever that have two iconic sports movies in different genres.
Like franchise. I mean, he's got The Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3, and Rocky.
Yeah, just the first in both franchises. That's two of the 10 most famous sports movies ever made.
I mean, you got Gavin with Miracle and Warrior.
I love it.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Miracle's one of your favorites, isn't it?
One of my favorites.
It's so good. It's Russell just crushing it.
That speech, man. Yeah. Great moments. Great opportunity.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. So, all right, let's continue moving through. All right, guys, so we are going to get a little bit into critical and box office. Drew, take us away.
Yeah, so this is, we were talking about this. United Artists produced this film. It only cost $1.1 million with their budget. That's their budgeting and their marketing budget. It was released in November 21st of 1976, which makes sense as why this is such a big Christmas movie for so many people. I don't know about you guys, but I was watching with my family. So domestically, it grossed $117 million. Worldwide, it grossed an additional $107 million for a grand total of $225 million off of a $1 million movie. At the time, it had broken records for, you know, coming back with like 1,500% returns.
It made the most money in 1976. It was the highest grossing film.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy. I mean, $225 worldwide in 76 that's like...
For a movie that cost $1 million.
Yeah,
like,
this is where you're the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Winkler and Chardoff, who, by the way... did a lot of work on the script.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. The script was very raw, and they put a lot of people had a hand in that.
I was going to say, I would have to imagine a lot of people had to dip their fingers into helping him out. Not that he's not a great writer, but you can't write a script this good in 3 days. No. You just can't
do it. Things that everything came together.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Kev. So what about a year ago, I got to spend a little time around Sly at a thing that you hosted. And right. It was unbelievable. It was incredible to just to hear him tell stories. But you've gotten to meet him now a handful of times and spend a little time with him.
Yeah.
And become friends with him.
Like every Christmas.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's cool.
So this being your favorite film of all time.
Yeah.
How did you, like, when you first met him, did you have to, like, restrain yourself a little to not no, just be like, just went right tell in. Me about Rocky right now, please.
No, I just went right in.
Really?
Well, I start with Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, okay.
Because I admire, that one's my favorite of all of them, because it lived up to Rocky behind the scenes.
Okay.
As much as Rocky lived up to Rocky in the underdog story. So that Balboa comes out against Eat, Pray, Love,
which is
Julia
right?
Roberts,
yeah,
mm-hmm. and Oprah.
Okay.
So you're going against, at that time, the queen
yeah.
of cinema and Julie Roberts and the queen of the world and Oprah.
Yeah.
And here comes Rocky Balboa. Okay, what's the premise? A 60-year-old guy yeah. fights for the title?
Right.
Come on, buddy. Really? Like, last time we saw the Rocky V, it was terrible. You've been laughed at by everybody. Are you really doing 16 this?
16 years later.
Yeah. And he does it. It's successful. It makes money. Critics love it. And he's number one that weekend. He beats Eat, Pray, Love. And so to me, that's my favorite. So I went and kind of broke that down for him.
He grows a 9th and 10th ab on each shoulder for that movie.
Yeah. And so he was, so anyway, that kind of, we connected there because I think he was kind of like, you get it.
That's cool.
Right.
And he's like, you know what? It's my favorite one too.
Really?
Yeah. That's so crazy. I need to go watch it.
Because he knew everything was against him.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you're 29, good looking guy, you're strapping. That was one thing. But then after his full journey, you know, think I was telling Maria, movies. I told my wife today, the mid-90s, because we were doing this show, but in the mid-90s, you know, he really, yeah, hard time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then started becoming the butt end of the joke,
yeah.
you know, him. And then after Rocky Balboa, it was like, oh, well, wait, whoa, we forgot about Sly. I forgot about this guy.
Because then I think he must make Rambo in 08, 2 years later, and then I think he starts making Expendables movies.
And then he's all in.
Well,
when he makes Rocky Balboa, It's the same thing. He's got he's got his own money,
yeah.
but he put his own money in, and then he took no salary on it. And I know, like, he wanted Mr. T to be a commentator,
yeah.
and Mr. T's like, yep, I need $500,000. It's like, it's just for 2 hours. Right. Like, it's not. And then the other fighter, I'm sorry, I remember brain freeze.
Can't remember his name
out of it, yeah. His management said at the last minute, yeah, I think we need, like, right day before shooting, I think we need a lot more. You know, I mean, just everything against him.
Crazy.
And so anyway, so for him, that's why.
Because at that point in his career, he's making, like, Get Carter the remake and stuff like that. Like, he wasn't.
Well, this is what's so interesting is that, like, you go and you watch Creed now. You watch Rocky. You think about the things that he's written in, like, his great dramatic moments. It makes no sense as to why he fell so far from grace in the 90s. Like, those movies, obviously, the movies weren't good. And he kept picking a lot of bad movies. But the thing is that Stallone's actually a much better dramatic actor than anyone gives him credit for until like the last couple of years when he gets nominated and people are like, oh yeah, remember that guy that got nominated before?
Great artist and storyteller. He's a great painter. You see his paintings, they're magnificent, but he's a great storyteller. And yeah, and I think he just made some poor choices. Yeah. And also, he wasn't focused.
Well, one of the
and he admits that. He said, and I'll let you finish, but this is important, I think. He said, you know, once it became about, I'm not getting out of my trailer until the other star is out of their trailer. You can only shoot this side of my face. Right. He said, once it became about that, once it got away from doing our makeup and getting dressed in the back of a pickup, he's like, that was when it was over for me.
Yeah. We laugh a lot because, you know, the comparisons happen endlessly. Yes, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, right? That's like a thing in the 80s.
Everybody knows. Yeah.
But what's funny about that is a Schwarzenegger from a very early, like, part of his career kind of got that, like,
he was very happy being one thing.
See, I'm gonna be this action star who's super jacked. The thing is, I'm gonna be known for my body and my one-liners, and that's gonna be my whole career.
Yep.
You know, even the Terminator movies, which are great, it's not like he has a lot of lines. He just has to, like, be a robot. Whereas Stallone was very famous for being an action star and a fighter, but he was like, I want to make Rhinestone. He's like, you know, I want to make music.
Well, he's an artist, he's a storyteller.
Exactly. Yeah. He would take way more chances and try different stuff out. He's like, oh, Demolition Man, that's a weird, interesting movie. I want to make that. And that kind of, sometimes it worked for him, sometimes it bit him in the ass.
Right.
And that's, I think, why.
But ultimately, I think that's why he has the bigger career.
Well, he's regarded as obviously a legitimate actor. Schwarzenegger never was.
Right. Yeah, he was just regarded as Arnold.
Yeah, I mean, watching Creed again, and guys, you may be getting a sense of the film we're covering next week, but watching Creed, I was like, again in tears watching him. He's so good.
Oh, both of them are amazing.
Love them.
That scene where he goes to the cemetery. He's like, hey, you know, he drops off the bottle and the rose. What's new in the world today? Getting up those stairs a little harder than it used to be. Why is that? And you're just like, I was just watching. I was like, oh, this is my hero.
Yeah.
He's so sad.
Just like watching him get older, watching life pass by.
Yeah.
So critically, this movie got an 8.1 on IMDb. It is ranked as the 218th greatest movie of all time on IMDb, which I think it's really important that Rocky 1 is in there. I can't remember if Creed is or not, but it's very important that Rocky 1 is.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's got a 93% by all critics, an 80% by top, and a 69% by the audience, which is surprisingly low for me. I'm not really sure why the audience would rate it below a 7.
Yeah, it's weird, and I would even...
Yeah, right? Like, it doesn't even make sense. It
doesn't make sense.
It doesn't follow any sort of formula or algorithm or any sort of pattern.
So everything should be 9s at the least.
I mean, maybe by the time the audience is even ranking this on Rotten Tomatoes, this movie had aged so much people were just being cynical about it.
Yeah.
Because it's just... I mean, the thing is, there's some campy elements to this movie because of how low budget it is. Right. When you watch it again, you're like, okay, it's 42 years later, like... I'm okay admitting that this part's like not the best part.
What's the campy part? I'm curious. I want
to
hear.
Some of the music, like at certain parts, like starts to be like, this is like pretty outdated. It feels like a little hokey.
Hmm.
There's moments of the, as much as I really enjoy Pauly and Rock, there's some moments that seem like a bit redundant between them, like just kind of going at it with one another. But I don't know if that really, I don't think it's enough to take it below a 7.
Not enough for me to give it anything other than an A+. Well,
and remember, this is like trying to play devil's advocate for people that are not appreciating greatness. No, and
filmmaking wise, because everyone knows his attention span, that would have been edited out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. For sure. All right, guys. So,
and speaking of editing, it won Best Editor, Director, and Picture. So yeah. This movie is fantastic.
And I mentioned this over the trailer, but I was fascinated to find that this film was nominated for Best Actor, Best Actress, and 2 Best Supporting Actor Oscars. This film was nominated for 4 acting
Oscars.
Was
it Mickey and Pauly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of them. That's pretty wild. I mean, that's like a pretty... you don't get a lot of movies that get that.
So I was alive when this came out, and I was a little kid, but it took the country.
Yeah.
This took the country by storm, and then the next year was Star Wars.
Yeah.
But so this was crazy. It was a phenomenon.
The brutal nature of the Oscars in 1976, where this movie came out and went up against another film that was just chocked full of acting performances, which is a movie called Network.
Yeah. Mm.
Peter Finch wins Best Actor over Stallone. Faye Dunaway wins Best Actress over Talia Shire. Even Best Actress went to Beatrice Straight. But
it's kind of, he's thrown that message out. I told him this too, Sly. Yeah. You've thrown this message out to the universe. And if you believe in The Secret and things like that, I'm like, you're always the guy that's going to come close and hang in and overcome all the odds, but just hang in and be standing at the end of the fight still.
Right.
You know, but not, it's not about your win. I go, I think it's your blessing and your curse.
Right.
Okay, I said, even with the Globe, you know, with the Golden Globes
and
with the Oscars, I said to him, I go, I think that's your story.
Looking back on it again, that's a hard one.
It is, because Rylance is so good in that movie. But
so is Hardy. And that's Hardy. Yeah. Was, I mean, that was a great, that was a tough
what
year.
What was the movie?
Tom Hardy and The Revenant, and Mark Rylance and Bridge of Spies were the 2 front runners like, alongside him.
That's a tough one.
I love all 3 of them. All right, guys, we're going to move into the next bit of the show. This is going to be favorite line, your favorite line in the film. This movie has some really good lines.
Yeah, there's some great ones. I'm going to hop in first because I got a real one, and I got, there's a few of them.
You got a fake
one? There's like 3 of them. There's like the first one that happens right off the bat, which is like, Apollo Creed versus the Italian Stallion. Sounds like a goddamn monster movie. I was like, yes. I was like, yes, it does. And then I had the... I love when Adrian goes, why do you want to fight? He's like, because I can't sing or dance. Hey, I don't know why I love that line, but it's just like there's something about their relationship.
It's charming.
It's so charming.
Beautiful.
It's so clunky and awkward. Yep. And it's just, it's almost like he almost gets a little creepy sometimes. But then you're like, dude, that's if you are so in love with someone, like you just got to be around
fixated.
Him. You don't know why, you know. And there's moments like in The Notebook, he's like, I don't know why, but I got to be around you. You know, there's lines like that in movies that they just hit you home. And that line, I love it because it's just like, it's just stupid and it's sweet. And I think about Stallone writing it. And I think about them doing it on set.
Yeah.
And then watching it, and you're just like, God, I love you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that was my favorite line in the whole movie. Watching that, it just hit home with me, and I felt like just super, just loved it.
Yeah. What do you got, Kev?
I can't beat him.
Yeah.
You know, you go through this whole journey. He trains, right? Just to sit in his bed. He sits up. He's staring out into space.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't beat him. And she's so great. Like, and I love her going, instead of being like, no, what, you know, you can beat him. She's like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And then that's when he says, you know, I want to, when that bell's ringing, when that bell rings, I still want to be standing. No one's ever gone the distance with Creed. And I don't want to, I just don't want to look like another bum from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it basically, in that scene, it basically spells out the whole movie.
Yeah.
The winning is about standing when that bell rings. That's all it's about. Yeah. It's not about winning the title.
Great moment realization.
So, again, because I look at this movie like it's like such a religion. But haven't you had those moments, you guys? Are you too young to have had those moments where you're like, what am I doing? I can't.
Oh, of course.
I can't
absolutely.
Win. Yeah. I can't do it.
One of your favorite things that you say, Kevin, and a lot of your, you know, the seminars that you'll say is half a life of showing up. You know, that's one of the things. And it's like, he had to show up to the fight. He had to put in the time. He had to show up. He had to make it to the end. He wins by showing up.
That's it.
Yep. And that's cool. There's a couple for me. I really love when that scene where Mick is there and he's like, this is what I used to look like. And he takes out the picture. And I love Stallone looks at it and he goes, looks like you take really good care of that picture. And you're like, what a great line.
It's such
like,
a good line.
There's so much behind it.
Yes.
You're like, it looks like you get your head up your ass about how great you used to be and you haven't let go of being the alpha dog. And it looks like you care more about that picture than you care about me and my well-being. It looks like you care more about yourself and your reputation for me winning this fight than you even care about me winning this fight. Yeah. And I can tell all of it by the fact that you're carrying around that fucking picture.
Just to show me.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that moment. I also love, this is just, and there's a couple lines, but I love when his former loan shark boss gives him that money.
Gazzo.
Yeah, Gazzo. And he gives him the money, and this is another MacGuffin. I actually thought this is what you're going to say. You think the whole time, watching it again, that he's going to ask him to throw the fight somehow. Or he's going to somehow try to get in on the fight.
You guys are so... Your generation is so much more cynical. When we saw it, we never thought that.
Oh, because I was
thinking... We knew the guy was in his... A thug, but he was in his corner.
Okay, because I was watching...
Especially when he took the cigarette out and threw it on the ground.
Well, as soon as that moment. That's the moment where it changes. Yeah. But I love that he gives him the money... for the date with Adrian, and then he's just like, "Well, he's like ringside," and you're like, "This guy's
like, gonna turn."
You're like, "This guy's a criminal."
Training expense. Go for it, Rock. Go for it.
He's a thug, but he also is in Rock's corner because he knows he's a good person. What it is that he knows he didn't break the thumb, so he's like, he's always a little soft on guys because he's got a good heart.
Right.
This is a guy that I should back, and he's getting his shot. I loved it. That relationship.
Remember in Rocky too. Another line I love in Rocky too is when Rocky, he's cleaning up the ring because he's not going to go back into fighting to please Adrian.
Yeah.
And he's cleaning the gym and dumping spit and Gazzo goes, points to the old poster of Rocky and he goes, remember that guy, Rock?
So just full disclosure, Rocky II is the only one that I have never watched.
So I watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
I watched it. It's great.
It's great.
Yeah. It's very good.
It's close to the first one, right? It's like very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the first one is much better.
Yeah.
Because in the second one, it's a lot of going back and forth with like inner demons and struggling, whereas the first one is just like a guy trying to make it, trying to do it, trying to get there. Right. But it's still a phenomenal movie. And then obviously, how do we not say Adrian?
Like, yeah.
It's been, people have made fun of it so many times, but when he yells that, at the end of the movie, my God, my heart breaks.
So emotional.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And just the fact, everything about their relationship, like their relationship is what makes this movie. I mean, it's the...
Yeah.
It's funny, like, remember when we had Ryan Brookhart came on the show and he talked to his thesis about Cameron, is, you know, James Cameron's films masquerade as sci-fi action flicks, but they're all love stories.
They're all
just love stories.
Yep.
And when you think about it, you're like, well, that's kind of true. That's what this movie watching this time made me feel like, is this is a love story more than anything else. It's their relationship is so much more important in the movie. It like it's really what makes it special to me. Like I thought at the end, like the fact that it's all about that. Like she believed in him, he believed in her, and we haven't even really talked about Paulie almost at all.
I know. So I want to hop into this question really quick from Janine LC, and she says, "This is probably the most down-to-earth film in the series. I love how the romance with Adrian started as awkward and clunky, but sweet, which felt more authentic and real. So which part of the film felt the most real to you guys?"
That's an interesting question. It actually does lead into Paulie, because Paulie, his relationship to Paulie is about as real to real life as it gets.
Yeah.
It's your buddy. He kind of doesn't believe in him all the way, but he loves him. And he's going to kind of just keep going to bat for him. And Paulie is kind of a schmuck at times, but not all the way.
Right.
And like, it's just, even like, he's like, "You're going to need some help, right, Rock? With your career."
Oh.
Drunk. And the bat, and that scene is just heartbreaking.
Oh, it's awesome. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's brutal, you know? And we've all had our good friends that have, you know, done the shit where you're just like, how are we going to get past this?
Yeah.
You know, but they do. And they do, because they're, I don't know. I love that relationship. That part, that character is pretty realistic to me, I think. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, the Pauly thing, you think about LA and entertainment and the grind here, and you've seen the best and the worst from your friends and all that, and I watching their relationship is it's really tough to stomach sometimes, but it's also just like, God, yeah, I get it. I completely get it. I just kind of resonate everything that you just said.
Yeah,
I think that, and also I do love the relationship between them because I think it's so sweet and innocent, but the realest moment, the most authentic for me, has got to be him and Pauly.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think?
No, so I agree. I love Pauly in this. I love Burt Young. Yeah. He's great in Back to School as well.
Okay.
But yeah, Stallone had always said that they were meant to be brothers, best friends.
Yeah. Interesting.
And you get it. You totally get 100%.
It. 100%. We just have a few minutes left, guys. So last question here from Josh Ryan. Is this the best example of the spirit of the film mirroring the process in which it came to be? Stallone is a struggling actor, writing the script in a few days, refusing to sell the script without being the lead, etc. That's an interesting question.
Yeah. Josh always asks great questions. I don't know if I know enough about every other film's process and being made.
Yeah.
But when you read about, so Gladiator is one of my favorite movies of all time. Sure. And yep. When you go back and you read about the process of that movie being made, it is not inspiring at all.
No.
It is a shit show thrown together with a lot of egos and a lot of money and a lot of fuck you, I want to do this and I'm better than you and this and writing the script on set. And I get that happens.
Yeah.
But like going and reading about it, and Gladiator and like how much I loved it as a kid, it kind of took away a little bit. Not much, but a little bit.
Maybe The Wrestler is the movie that I can think of that feels as close to that. Because of
Rourke's return.
Because Rourke basically rewrote a lot of the stuff in the script to mirror his own life.
But when I think off the top of my head, I can't imagine one that is like this close to like home as the journey as the actor and as the journey as the actual person.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, we are a little short on time. We were going to have a conversation about recast, so we'll just do a quick speed round on it. It's weird to try to think about recasting this movie with modern day actors because it feels like all the good sports movies that I've seen, they just do. I'm just pulling from those movies.
Like, I have Rourke as Mickey. I have Michael B. Jordan as Apollo, and yeah. I wanted to put Edgerton as Rocky, and then I was doing it, so I was like, it's because they've just done it already, and they're so good at it.
Literally, I was like, know? Hardy or Edgerton in my mind. I was like, it's because Warrior's like my favorite movie. How can I pick somebody else?
And it's like, you can't put someone else in Apollo Creed's shoes when they are shooting Creed 2 right now with Michael B. Jordan in it, and he's very good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough because, as I was saying to you guys earlier, it's still almost so raw.
Yeah.
When he was a young guy, he was, you know, it's like, even actors today, you know, Andrew and, you know, other actors that are out there today are just ripped and in great shape. And, you know what I mean? The hair's perfect. And, you know,
right.
This guy was smoking cigarettes that he really did in real life. You know what I mean? And like, he probably like lifted dumbbells and things like that, but it wasn't. So today would be so hard, I think.
You'd have to get an unknown, basically. Or, you know who I was thinking, and this is just a deep cut, but...
But an unknown who also is not, like, where do you find a good-looking unknown that's not owning his body, his looks, and...
When Channing Tatum did A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints and Fighting, before he was a brand, like, when he was just coming up... Like,
I love his work.
Like, Step Up.
I love Channing.
Like, around that time, like, 2009, 2008, he could have done this. He had enough of that, like, didn't really say much, kind of talk
about... But was his body loose?
He was super jacked, but I mean, he's
that's also what I'm saying, so it's still like, you know, like
he could have done it though, because he's a guy that gets out of shape real fast.
Yeah, I've seen him put on weight real quick.
Yeah, I think he could have been a guy that could have pulled it off,
but I don't think he would have gotten out of shape for a lead role.
Yeah, it's a
difference. Know what I mean? So I'm just saying, it's like
Chris Evans, Steve Rogers, like in the first one, like that kind of guy.
Yeah,
would be sweet, but it's hard to even think about what Chris Evans was 10 years ago.
It's a very difficult concept.
And even Chris is a, you know, really good looking kid.
Absolutely.
He's a good looking man now, but he's good. So it's tough.
It's almost impossible to really think about recasting these characters because, as we've said, I mean, Creed exists right now as a franchise, so you have a lot of comp characters, and like, I think it's a testament to what I said with my thesis, that this was the archetypal movie for what became the sports genre. Most of the recast choices I can think of just are based on other sports movies that are inspired by this movie anyway.
Right.
You know, that is what it is. So, all right, guys, we are going to plug one last thing quickly before we get to our sign off, and that is patreon.com/teamaction. Guys, you may know us from the Schmodown. You may know us from AMA. Every single week, Drew and I are recording additional content in front of a giant mural of Nicolas Cage. We have
it's fantastic.
We do top five lists submitted by the Action Army. We do post Schmodown interviews. We riff on stuff. Basically, guys, if you go to patreon.com/teamaction, you will get additional content every single week. That's the way to do it. So
yeah, and if we get to our $500 goal, we're gonna start doing two videos a week. Excuse me.
Yes.
So, which is a lot.
Yeah. So thank you to every single person who supports us doing that and has been a fan of both shows for a very long time. All right, guys, there are three action movie categories: totally ridiculous, totally legitimate, and ridiculously legitimate.
And I think without delving into exactly what those categories mean, I think Kev can probably
pretty much
off.
Guess. Yeah, they're all fantastic. It's pretty impossible to call this movie anything other than totally legitimate for me. It would have to have gone over the edge of campy to even get to the middle, and it just doesn't.
And it's not even that campy.
No, it's not.
It's just old. Yeah. Durr.
I think this movie's pretty fantastic, and I think very easily totally legit.
I mean, the fact that it got all of us... I don't know if you teared up because you've seen it so many times.
No, I just teared up an hour ago watching
it. Right? Like, yeah. A movie that is not legitimate cannot make you cry at its pinnacle moment when it's succeeding in every way. You know what I mean? It's totally doing everything it wants to.
I just side note, because I didn't say it on the show. I just remember, so one of my friends when I was a kid showing me the cut the eye scene.
I remember seeing
it when I was 10.
Gnarly.
He cuts his eye because his eye's so swollen, he has to cut it.
The pus comes out. You're like, oh, God, come on.
I don't want to be a boxer. So, all right, guys. That's we're all pretty much in agreement. There's only one last thing left to do on the show, and that is called The Pitch. All right, guys. We have a show coming up next week. I am out of town, so we will be pre-taping an episode covering, you guessed it, Creed, the last film to be released in this franchise. Technically not the same franchise, but it's the same franchise.
Yeah, we figured with the second trailer coming out, or the trailer for the second film coming out, why not revisit one of the best franchises of all time, and maybe we'll rank our definitive ranking.
Of all the Rockies?
Of all of them.
Yeah, that's a good plan. It's another underdog film. What can we say? Drew's taking on the greatest of all time in Schmodown, so Collider Collision is this weekend. We just decided to... Yeah, exactly. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed that he can, he can go to the final round. That's all we're hoping for.
Just want to go to the final round.
No one's ever gone toe-to-toe.
No.
Yeah.
Never.
So, all right, guys, that's going to wrap us up. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Action Movie Down. But one more time, guys, where can the folks find you if they want to follow along with your exploits?
Oh, you guys can find me at Andrew Guy.
At Undergaro.
And you guys can find me at Ben Baby Media. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.